The third faculty member interviewed prior to the ASBS conference was Dr. Charles Geyer, who began our conversation by commenting on the case he wanted to present at the symposium, a 49-year-old woman with a 0.8 centimeter grade 2 infiltrating ductal cancer, which was strongly ER and PR positive and HER2 negative with 7 negative sentinel nodes. Complicating the picture was a prior cerebrovascular episode several years previously that resolved with the patient being maintained on chronic anticoagulation. Dr. Geyer began by commenting on this patient's perspective on her tumor.
She's kind of one of these, you know, typical, I guess to me, a professional sort of in control, wanting to be in control and coming across, we can control this, I just need to understand it, give me the stuff so I can make a decision. She did not want chemotherapy. She came in concerned about chemotherapy and was needing to be convinced it was necessary and a pretty substantial benefit.
Was she the kind of person who was out there on the web trying to get information, or was she sort of leaving things up to you? What was her attitude in that respect?
I didn't get a sense that she was really looking for other sources particularly. She did want a lot of information. She wanted to understand, you know, what I was talking about, what we were recommending. But I don't know that if she went and got a second opinion. She didn't, you know, express that or route that through us. I think had I insisted that she get chemotherapy, she would have sought second opinions. I think partly I was telling her what she wanted to hear, quite frankly, in that sense. I mean, if now that you're asking me, I really hadn't thought about it. But had I pushed the chemotherapy and that sort of stuff, she might have. Basically, where we left it was, as I'm recalling from her recurrence score, there was a possibility of absolute 3-4% benefit, and she said, even if that's there, I wouldn't take the chemo. So that's why she, getting to the Taylor trial, you know, the trial is basically trying to find out, is that there or not? And she said, I don't care if it is, I still wouldn't take it. So in her case, she mainly got it because she did understand a high recurrence score. She really didn't have a functional choice.
You think if she had a high recurrence score, she would have gone ahead with chemotherapy?
Yeah.
And the fact that she had an intermediate score from her point of view,
that was sufficient. It got the potential benefits at best down to a range that she didn't feel like they were warranted, even if that's what they really were.
So you actually discussed the Taylor X trial with her?
Oh, yeah.
And recommended that she go in it or just brought it
no,
up as an
option? No, I mean, the way I go at that is basically when I have a node negative hormone receptor positive breast cancer patient that is appropriate, I think, for the Oncotype assay, I explain the assay and the relative certainty around the ends that high recurrence score patients really need chemotherapy, very low end don't. And I explain now in the intermediate area, we don't know, as evidenced by the clinical trial that we're trying to do. So we have coverage for Oncotype DX in Pittsburgh, and so I've incorporated it into my practice, and I really just talk to women about Taylor who would be eligible.
When you say who would be eligible, you mean just with intermediate scores?
Eligible for the randomization.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would think that there is going to be some selectivity in who goes into this study, and to me that seems fine.
Well, because that's the critical randomization, really, for
right.
The primary endpoint. You know, 4,300 women going into that group. There were assumptions made about when the study was opened, patients could have the assay run if they agreed to the randomization, if they got that result. And that was useful for places who didn't have the assay readily available in routine clinical practice. Joe Sperano sent me some updated information from ECOG on the accrual getting ready for the meeting we just had. And what he sent me, it looks like about 70% of the patients that are entering the study are in that primary group. And
that are going to get randomized.
Yeah, the randomized group. And that statistically, if you took all comers, it was estimated that they would make up about 45% of patients. So clearly, I'm not the only one.
Sure, makes sense.
Thinking that way.
Right. And I guess also people are going to be selective within the intermediate range.
I think so.
Obviously, the patient and the doc have to have equipoise about that randomization. And it's really amazing to try to attempt a trial like this. It's been a long time since we've done a chemo versus no chemo randomization in breast cancer.
And the accrual has surged in the last 6 months. I mean, it really has jumped up very nicely. So physicians are engaged and interested and are getting patients agreeing to the randomization.
Well, the other thing that's going to be interesting to me, I mean, actually, I personally love the idea of just being able to reliably do a prospective study, see what's happening, maybe even come up with future assays that you can go back and do on these patients, just like you did with the Oncotype. Mm-hmm.